Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, happy Friday. We continue to monitor the explosion in Sheboygan County. At least four hospitalized, areas cordoned off. We will bring you the latest throughout the rest of the afternoon. All right, in news today, the top dog names for 2025 have been released. This is always interesting. Most people in America have dogs. I can't remember the stat, but it's more than 50% of Americans. All right, let's go through boy dog names and girl dog names. What do you think are some of the most popular boy dog names?
Charlie.
Charlie is on the list. Number nine. Very good. Ninth most popular.
Ollie or Oliver?
Nope. That's a baby name, but it's not a doggy name. I was thinking Duke. Duke's number seven on the list. Here's the top boy doggy names. Number three is Teddy. Number two is Hank. And the most popular doggy name is Max. Last year it was Milo. Is Max. All right, what about girl doggy names? The most popular girl dog names for 2025. What do you think?
Belle.
Almost. Bella.
Or Bella, yeah.
Bella's on the list. Our little Bella. We have a Bella. Bella's number two. My guess was Daisy. Daisy's number three. Also on girl dog list, Lucy. Ruby is new to the list this year. Ruby. Willow. And the number one girl dog name is Luna. Luna. Oh, and then very quickly, these are names that are gaining the fastest in popularity, but they're still not near the top of the list. Food-inspired names. Brisket.
What?
Cheeto. Pickles.
Food. What?
Asiago, like as in the cheese. Mm-hmm. And another one rising quickly in the last year is Galinda.
Oh, from Wicked. That's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's the perfect litmus test for someone, don't you think, if they love dogs or not?
That is a really good test, actually.
Well, there's a 66-year-old woman who decided to do just that for her daughter, actually. And she launched this app. It's kind of like, what is that called, Tinder?
Yeah.
It's called Frawley. So the idea came when her daughter Amanda refused to date a guy who didn't care for her rescue pit bull, Artemis. If the man that she matched with online, which she created, didn't love a dog, then he couldn't love her. So Frawley is a dating app specifically for those who love their four-legged friends. You and your dog can both have profiles.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they're like other apps out there. Fetch a Date is one of them, designed for pet lovers. Profiles are pet forward, and your pet helps make your first impression, kind of like your wing dog or wing man, wing girl. And it just launched last month, Frawley. So there you go.
Frawley. That is interesting.
I'm so glad that I didn't have to go through all of that.
Oh my gosh, me too.
You know, I've seen people on the job sometimes doing the Tinder swipes.
Oh, I could never go through that again. That would be terrible to be out there.
Oh, well, tell me about your life all over. No.
Yeah. Nope. Can't do that. No interest in
you know
that.
How many? Because you've known Michelle for how long?
Almost 40 years.
Sheesh.
We've been married 35.
Oh my
God. I've been married since just slightly after you were born.
Wow. I've been amazing. With Jason since I was 23.
Yeah. See, like our whole lives.
Basically, my whole adult life.
Yeah. It is 4:12 at WTMJ. Green and Gold Insiders. It's Packers, Giants in the Meadowlands. Jason Wilde is our Green and Gold Insiders. He's with us live up next.
From sidelines to the locker room.
This is unlike anything else that's ever happened in franchise history. Now, I know what I'm saying when I say that.
And everything in between.
How many times are you going to come to my press conference late? We got a rule in the team meeting. You don't interrupt the meeting. Sit your butt outside.
No one covers the team like Jason Wilde.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but I don't do enough politics.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
That's right. Green and Gold Insiders is sponsored by Window Nation. Jason Wilde, ESPN Milwaukee, Wilde and Tausch, the best sports talk show in Wisconsin. Jason, thank you so much for being with us.
I am like a very proud uncle right now with Corey Sparks behind the glass for you. I'm so proud of this young fella. take it easy on him, all right? Be good to him, because I'm just so proud of him taking over as your producer. So I'm really excited for him.
We're excited, too.
We're very, very excited.
And we feel very fortunate. That's a nice thing of you to say, Jason. Who's performed worse the last 2 weeks in Packers losses? Jordan Love or Matt LaFleur?
Were you going to say me or something?
No. Love or LaFleur? Who's had a harder time of it in the past 2 weeks' losses?
What a nice thing to say, Jason. Now let's tell us who stinks more. But it's true. Like, look, this is a big boy league, Ted Thompson used to say, right? And if you don't get it done, you're going to be criticized. And obviously Matt LaFleur has taken a lot of the criticism. The answer, of course, is both of them have had mistakes and problems and moments. That's how your offense only scores a not-so-grand total of 20 points over two home games and loses back-to-back games. And so it has been a combined effort for sure. But I think, especially from an optics perspective, and I asked Matt LaFleur about this earlier in the week, but like that whole thing where he's in the back of the bench area with his tablet writing down some notes, and he's like leaning on this big white, I don't know what the heck that was, like a generator or something. And then the memes that were all going around social media, I even said to him, you know, one of them had you ordering a pizza. And he said, I assure you I was not ordering a pizza. But that's how bad things have been offensively, is that you got your head coach trying to figure something out, and the optics of that weren't great. So I think this game on Sunday is a great opportunity. The Giants are in disarray. Feels like a good opportunity for them to get their act together.
How was practice yesterday?
Well, I'll say this. A guy that we had not seen taking part in practice in a long time, Lucas Van Ness, took part yesterday, took part today. So that's an encouraging sign. We talked to him for a little while in the locker room, and he's holding out hope he could actually play. The last time we saw him, he's missed the last four games, but the last time we saw him, he was sacking Joe Flacco for the Bengals. And if they have a bunch of packages, Micah Parsons was telling us today, they have a bunch of defensive pass rush packages that they haven't been using because they've been waiting for Lucas to get back. So if they can unleash him, I think they're pretty excited about what they can do in terms of a pass rush.
You know, I'm nervous saying this, but the Giants aren't a very good football team. And I said that when they played the Panthers. I said that when they played the Browns. Is this a get-right game for the Packers?
It absolutely should be, but you make the exact right point, John. It should be, but that doesn't mean it will be, right? And, I mean, those are two games. You look at their three losses, and for two of them to be against kind of the dregs of the NFL, and then the other one to the defending Super Bowl champs, who, by the way, have their own issues, right? I mean, they're the top seed right now in the NFC, but they're a flawed football team. So, look, this season is going to be decided, assuming they do what they should do on Sunday at the Meadowlands. This game will be decided in the final 7 weeks for this team, because five of those seven games are against division opponents, including Thanksgiving in Detroit, two against the Bears, two against the Vikings. So it comes down to how are you going to do in the division? That will decide everything.
Your partner said Lions, Vikings, and Bears. Oh, my. Tausch said that on Wednesday.
All my best material.
What does Micah Parsons say? I remember at the beginning of the season you said that he warned the press, I'm going to be brutally honest. So what is he saying about what's happening?
Well, he's a little irritated because a national radio guy, not Tausch, but another national radio guy, was criticizing him. And he went after this national host on social media. And then he did the thing where he offered to switch jobs for a day. Which I will say, like, I think Micah Parsons, who has done his own podcast in the past, probably could do this guy's job better than this guy could do Micah Parsons' job. If he wanted a job swap with me, I would end up in the emergency room very quickly trying to go up against those guys. So I'll pass on that. Look, they need him to be a game wrecker. And I think opposing defenses the last couple weeks, even though the defense as a whole has played well, opposing offenses in the last few weeks have done a pretty good job of neutralizing his big plays, because those big plays are the things that obviously tilt the field.
It's weird, Jason, because 3 weeks ago when the Packers really lined him up a lot over the center or in that gap between the center and the guard, it seemed to mix things up. Aaron Rodgers seemed flustered, seemed like he had happy feet, and now Micah Parsons has been really quiet. Have they not been using him the same, or did other teams just kind of neutralize that same move?
So first of all, that's a great point because it takes a lot to flummox Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, dude's seen it all. And that definitely did. You could see that. Like he was constantly trying, where's number one? Where's number one? I think what the last two teams have done, certainly the Panthers, who just ran the ball a ton, but also with their quarterback, and then with Jalen Hurts, who's a mobile quarterback. These guys, they're like, look, we are not going to mess with Micah Parsons. We're going to drop three steps or five steps, and the ball is coming out immediately. We are not going to linger. And we know Rodgers loves to extend plays. That's where he got into trouble against the Packers. So I don't know how Jameis Winston, who's going to be replacing Jackson Dart as the quarterback for the Giants this week, is going to handle it. He is a risk taker, man. He will throw anything. There should be some opportunities for not only some sacks for Micah Parsons, but some interceptions as well.
Jason Wilde with us on WTMJ. All right, Jason, so former Eagle Jason Kelce was in town for the Monday game. He ate at Legend Larry's. He took down a dozen wings, seven spotted cows, an old-fashioned, a shot of Jaeger, a jumbo prime rib, and an ice cream drink. They're now dubbing it the Kelce Challenge. On your hungriest day, could you complete the Kelce Challenge?
Well, I can't do the beers and the old-fashioned, but I'm not proud of how much I could eat, but yeah, I think I could probably. I'm not a huge prime rib guy. He is right though. Those wings, you know, that's the place that's known here in Green Bay for the place to go for wings. So I applaud him for that. But yeah, he's that's impressive. That's a lot. He's like the Kobayashi or the Joey
right.
Chestnut of Green Bay. Pretty impressive.
And he loved Wisconsin. I loved in the article I read how much he loved Wisconsin. He actually said that. He went other places. He did other things. He went ice skating at Titletown. And I loved it. It seems, Jason, and you live there, and I think sometimes we just take it for granted what a special place it is, especially during football season.
It is, especially during football season. You know, again, I have a lot of friends that live in Milwaukee and Madison and Chicago. And the ones that do manage to come up here to visit us are like, wow, this is, you know, it's really changed and it's grown. And there's a lot of great things. As far as Kelce goes, though, until he's going to bring his future sister-in-law to town, you know, he can come whenever he wants, but I got a couple of girls at home who'd rather he brought Taylor Swift with him.
Oh, my God, that place would go nuts. Oh, it's going to happen sooner or later, you would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if she plays Lambeau Field, you know I'll be really trying to get some tickets.
Well, you got an office in the building. I mean, that should get you something.
Oh,
she can use it as her changing room. I'll give it totally to her. It's all hers.
That's good.
That's right. You don't even have a window.
That's good. That's good.
But they're upgrading.
Exactly.
But they're upgrading. You might get a window.
Yeah. We've been lobbying for that. We've signed the petition to get you a window. So we'll see what happens.
Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
Yeah.
There you go. I just have to figure out how I'm going to bubble wrap all these bobbleheads.
It's
going to take me a while to move out.
I hope they do it during the off season because you don't have time for that much work during the season.
That's exactly
He's Jason
right.
Wilde, ESPN Milwaukee, Wilde and Tausch, 9 a.m. to noon. Jason, thank you so much. Good as always.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
All right. One of my favorite Fridays of the month is when the plant doctor, Melinda Myers, is with us here in the studio, and she is this afternoon. Melinda, it's so good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here. Great to see both of you.
I love several of these topics, and I want to start with this. It's very timely. Protecting plants for winters. We're in a mild stretch now, but it's been getting cold. It's going to get cold. What do we need to think about when we think about protecting our plants for the winter?
You know, we've had such fluctuating temperatures. I was harvesting my leeks, I must confess, and there's a little bit of frost in the ground. They're fine, but it was a reminder that winter is close. So watering, you know, if we don't get that rain on Tuesday, check the soil moisture, especially new plantings, evergreens, those moisture-loving plants. You know, we think the weather gets a little cooler, we don't do any watering. Make sure you take care of those. Mulching, if you haven't, cover the soil surface with wood chips, those leaves, instead of raking them to the curb. I like to shred them with my mower, bag them, and then spread them on the soil. They make a great mulch, conserving moisture. As they break down, they improve the soil, and they'll help give you a little advantage over the weeds. Speaking of which, it's not too late to keep weeding if you've still got a few.
Oh.
I know.
That is the worst. That's the only thing I like about winter is that you don't have to weed.
Yeah, and the bugs.
Yeah, and the bugs. Okay. Hey, I wanted to ask you a follow-up about the mowing and the mulching because I have a super recycler too and I mulch everything.
Right.
And I love it. This time of year when you typically mow less, I mow more because I use it as a way to take care of the leaves. So exactly. I mow them in there. Should we, as we get closer to it being cold, like when you know it's the last cut of the year, which maybe isn't quite yet, mow the grass lower? Does that help with voles or help with anything?
You know, if you're mowing 2.5 to 3.5, 4 inches tall, you're okay. A lot of people do that because they feel better. The voles are really an issue. They'll run through short grass too, but taller grass. So if you've got plants, new plants especially, you may want to use hardware cloth. Sink it in the ground 4 inches, make a fence like 4 feet tall. Just a little cylinder around your trees, your shrubs. That can help with rabbits, yep. Helps with voles because they're looking for places to hide and eat the bark. And deer, I've got bigger, wider fences, so they're not 7 feet tall,
yeah.
But they're, you know, 4 or 5 feet tall, but they're away from the plant, so the deer can't get
good
at
idea.
Them and secured as well. And pull that mulch off the trunk if you're not putting fencing, because guess what? That's bad for the tree, but that's a great place for the voles to seek shelter, and then they've got food handy and shelter.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Let's go indoors.
Good idea.
It's a perfect time to have an herb garden. Right?
It is. You know, I think one of my favorite things is in the summer is cooking. I'm not known to be a great cook, but fresh vegetables, fresh herbs from the garden, anybody can be a good cook, right? So instead of giving up, bring some things indoors or start some new plants. Basil's a great one to grow inside in a sunny window or under artificial lights. Chives like it cool. So you could put that in the basement under an artificial light, or if you've got a window, especially if you've got, you know, an exposed basement or a good south window. Parsley's another one, and sage. Those are all pretty easy to grow indoors. And even if you can't have fresh from the garden vegetables, having some fresh from your windowsill herbs is kind of a great way to add some of that flavor that I think we tend to miss in the winter.
Another question about bringing stuff inside. I bought two beautiful hibiscus this summer. So I brought them inside. I know I need to continue to water it. Give me advice. I think these are not the type of plants I can put away where it's dark, right? Should I keep them where it's light and water them? How should I treat the hibiscus if I want any chance of them being okay in the spring?
You know, great question. So hibiscus, if you want to grow them like a house plant, a good sunny window, water. I brought one in too. It's in my breakfast nook, and it's drying out pretty quick.
So mine too.
Right? You got to check it a couple times a week. I have had some success overwintering in my basement in my older house where I had a window. So I was just barely keeping it alive. So it had a little light. I didn't have to water as often.
Yeah.
It was cooler. You'll have the best success growing it as a house plant. Same with the mandevillas, the diplodenias.
Yes.
Those are fun to bring in. And I've got a couple next to my hibiscus, too. I've got my fingers crossed. So water, I'm treating it like a house plant. Good south window is the best sunlight in the winter. That one, I've had good luck in a dark, cool place in my basement where it gets no light.
Okay.
I store it where I have my wine stored, and I don't have to do much, maybe water it every month or so, and then bring it up in March or April, start watering, trim it back if needed, and fertilize, and I've had good success overwintering it that way.
Yeah, because they're expensive. I mean, if you buy new hibiscus every single year.
Yes.
I don't want to do that.
No, exactly. And, you know, and then we're gardeners, so you're going to probably buy another one anyway.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And add to the collection.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I don't ever feel bad for my garden center partner saying, oh, store it over winter because I'll be back and buy another one to go with the one that did survive the winter.
When's the deadline to force bulbs, like to put them in?
So if you're going to plant them in the ground, that's my weekend job. I'm hoping to get them in while we've got a little bit of warm weather if we're planting them in the ground. If you're done and you're like, I'm finished, I'm doing no more, this is a great time to begin forcing them. So you can pot them up in a container with potting mix, put a couple inches in the bottom, a well-drained pot, set your bulbs in, cover them with soil, mm-hmm. water, and then either sink the pot in a vacant part of the garden, put it in a spare refrigerator if you have room, or you could also put it in an unheated garage. And then you only water if the soil's dry and it needs 15 weeks of cold, then bring it out in a sunny window and enjoy some spring indoors.
You want to know how or why I ghosted somebody over a plant?
Okay. Oh, yes,
I
do.
Yes.
I do.
This was in college. And tell me if you're on my side after this. He looked like, I'm not kidding, a young Warren Beatty. All the girls wanted him. He asks me out over Facebook when it was first just for colleges.
Yep.
So I'm so excited and everything. We go to like a Subway. Okay. It's nothing groundbreaking.
Big spender.
We go back to his house and I've been there before because there's house parties and we're in his bedroom. No, he's just okay. showing.
This would be a great story.
He's on the other side of the bedroom and he's showing me his parlor. It looks like a parlor palm.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And he's so proud of it. And he said, you know, I'm just having a hard time because every time I water it, I only do it once a month now because the water keeps warping all over the place down my dresser. So I get a closer look. It's not real. It was not a real plant.
He's ruining furniture, watering a fake plant.
It was a fake plant.
Okay.
He goes on to like talk about other things in the room. It could have been a story for our grandchildren one day, you know, like he was watering a fake plant.
Yeah.
No, he didn't even, it didn't even register.
So he was handsome, but not smart.
I was going to say he was good thing he was good looking. Good looks,
we would have had really good looking grandchildren, but no brains.
I'm not sure there'd be a lot of good.
Are you on my side with
this?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I think there's a lot of, I think.
What
Subway and watering fake plants, that's kind of a, you know.
He was so proud of this plant.
How good it looked.
Well, I walked closer and closer. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's a great story. That's a crazy story. So you heard it here from Melinda. Water the hibiscus from Julia. Don't water the fake plant in your house. You don't need to do that. Save the water. Hey, if you want resources that are really cool, including books, and I have Melinda's books, MelindaMyers.com, MelindaMyers.com. Tips on watering real and fake plants. Melinda Myers.
God. Yeah. Com. Go to them like me if they do that. No.
Melinda, it's always fun. Great advice.
Hey, thanks
for being
so
with
much.
Us.